Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Tainis, Dav Chav Zayin. We begin at the very top, four lines from the top, Chav Zayin Umar Aleph, where we quote the Mishnah. And the Mishnah tells us, Elu Hein Ma'amados, these are the Ma'amados, and then it quoted a Pasuk, Lefi Shenemar, Tzavis Mei Yisrael, V'chule, the famous Sukkim of the Parshas of Tamid, which we read now on Rosh Chodesh, as well as every day people say it in the morning during the Korbanos section of the Davening. We'll learn a little bit about the Korbanos section of the Davening a little bit later in the shiur today, very important idea. In any event, we quote the Mishnah, and it seems a little bit that there's missing something. It tells us these are the Ma'amados, and it gives us a reason for why we have the Ma'amados. So my comment, the Gemara is, what is the Mishnah exactly telling us? So the Gemara says, this is what the Mishnah is telling us. Elohein Ma'amados, it tells us that these are the Ma'amados, and then it says, Umatam Tiknu Ma'amados. Why do we have the Ma'amados? Lefi Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, etc., and this is dealing with the obligation to bring korbanos. Now, how could it be possible that a person brings a korban? These are brought on behalf of all of Klai Yisrael, these are korbanos tibur, so how could it be that nobody from Klai Yisrael is present? Therefore, hitzkenu neviim, or he shown him the early neviim. Now, this really came from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was based upon the Psukim, he darshaned that we have the Klai Yisrael divided up into eight Mishmaros, and we'll see subsequently, we'll have different interpretations, that Shmuel and David increased to 16 and then to 24 Mishmaros. So therefore, Hiskinu Nevi'im Rishonim asked for Rabbi Mishmaros. The Nevi'im Rishonim are David and Shmuel and David, and they arranged it to be 24 Mishmaros. And I'll call Mishmaru Mishmar, Hayamamid B'Yushalayim, Shal Kohanim, Shal Levi'im, Shal Yisraelim. And this division of Klai Yisrael into 24 groups, so to say, was both the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Yisraelim. And there would be those that went up to Yerushalayim, and actually the Kohanim and Levim were working in the Beis HaMikdash doing the Avodah, and there were people from Yisrael that were the observers, so to say, on behalf of Klai Yisrael. And then in addition, when it was their Mishmar to work for the Yisraelim that weren't going up to Yerushalayim, so they would gather in each of their cities, he gives Mal Mishmar, Lalos, Kohanim, Levim, Olim Yerushalayim, and the rest of the Yisraelim would stay in their cities and do these ma'amados that we'll now describe. So first we quote another b'risa, Tanu Rabban. Esrim Yabor Mishmaros Beretz Yisrael. Klai Yisrael is divided up into 24 Mishmaros, and then it seems to say, a non-sequitur, or Shtemes Rebi Yericho, and seemingly another 12 in Yericho. Where it says, Shtemes Rebi Yericho, Nefesh Lutuva. Wait a second, that would be 36. If you tell me they're 24, and they tell me they're an additional 12 in Yericho, that's 36, that's too many. There's only 24. So says, yeah, that's not what we meant. Elushtei Mesrei Mehen B'Yericho. That of the 24, 12 of them were starting off in Yericho, and the purpose of those in Yericho was to supply food to the rest of the people in Yerushalayim. Yes, man, a mishmar lalos, when it was the time for that mishmar to go. So, chatzi ha-mishmar ha-yo'olem me'eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim. Of the people that were going up to Yerushalayim, only half of them went up to Yerushalayim itself. The chatzi ha-mishmar, and the other half of that mishmar from the Yisraelim, ha-yo'olem. Now, we have the gifts of Mi Yericho, but it's Li Yericho. They went to Yericho. Yericho is near Yerushalayim. And therefore, they would go, half of them, simple understanding is half went up to Yerushalayim, half stayed in Yericho. And the ones in Yericho would go bring the food and water and whatever was necessary to the brethren in Yerushalayim in order to supply everybody with food and water and other things that they may need. Now, the Rabbeinu Hananel brings down that they alternated. One time, this group would go, and then another time, the next group would go. So they would split it. Half the time, they would be in Yericho, and half the time, they would be in Yerushalayim. Others say that they split it in the same week. So some went for, let's say, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and the others went for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they alternated. And others suggest that they alternated in some other sort of a way, lavdavka, the same routine and rigor, but that some people would be in Yerushalayim, some people would be in Yericho. Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yehuda said, 'Name of Shmuel, Kohanim, Ulevim, the Yisraelim, Ma'akvinis Hakorban. If you don't have the Kohanim, Ulevim, Yisraelim present, you can't bring the Korban. They're essential in order to have a kosher Korban brought. You need to have Klai Yisrael present, and you need to have the Kohanim doing the Avod, the Levim doing the Ashira, and the Yisraelim have to be present representing Klai Yisrael. However, that's Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. In a Braisa, we learned otherwise. We must need Satana." Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said as follows, Kohanim ulevim uchle shir ma'akvin sakorban. The Kohanim and the Levim, plus you needed the clay shir, you needed the musical accompaniment, or else it would be ma'akiv, the carbon wouldn't be good. So First, we have Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel saying that you don't need the clay shear, and then you have this Braisa saying that you do need the clay shear. So, what's going on? The might come in for you. What are they arguing about? So, this is the machlokes we had previously. So, it's not only Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. This is a Tanoic machlokes. Mar Savar Shmuel, the opinion of Shmuel, is based upon the Tanoim that hold Mar Savar Iko Shir Bepeh, that the main function of the Levim is their verbal singing, their oral singing, and not the musical accompaniment. The musical accompaniment is very, very nice, but that's not arcade. That's the first opinion. The Marsover, Rav Shimon Lazar, the other Tanoic opinion, says that no, Shira Bakli, that great, the Levim sing, but that's not the real ikar of the Levim's function. They need to play the musical instruments. That's the ikar. And if you don't have the musical instruments, the brisa we brought down, that says Rav Shimon Lazar says that the clay shira also ma'akvin is a carbon. If you don't have the musical accompaniment, the carbon isn't good. Now, what type of musical instrument was? So Rashi tells us it's an abuv. It's a certain type of a flute that they would go and play. Now, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav, Rav Chama Bar Guri says the name of Rav, Moshe Tiken Lehem Yisrael Shmona Mishmaros. Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav, is an abora. That's important, as we'll see in a moment, that we're going to have a Tanoic argument with this, and we're going to ask, well, Rav Tanahu Poli, but we don't like to say that unless we have to, and therefore, who is going to be the Tanoic support for this statement? So right now, Rav Chama Bar Guri says in the Rav that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who set up the first eight mishmaros. Again, it's based upon psukim, and they came from the children of Aaron HaKohen. Now, Aaron had four children, Nadav and Avihu, unfortunately passed away. We know the famous story of Ahiba Yom HaShmini, Parsha Shmini, and Nadav and Avihu died. Now, they died while they were unmarried and didn't have children. One of the reasons why it says that they died was they were unmarried and didn't have children. So, the other two children are Elazar and Isamar. So, the Kohanim come all from Elazar and Isamar's family. So four of them, half of the Mishmaros that Moshe Rabbeinu set up, the Dalet Arba came from Elazar, and Dalet four, Mei Isamar. So that's the original eight Mishmaros. Ba Shmuel, along comes Shmuel years later, then Midan Asheshesrei. He added on, so there'd be 16 Mishmaros. Mistama, he split up the four from Elazar into another four, so there were a total of eight from Elazar, and he split up the four from Isamar into eight, so the eight from Isamar, a total of 16. And subsequently, Ba David, a generation later, David comes, then Midan al Esrim V'Arba. He sets him up into 24. He adds on an additional eight Mishmaros. It doesn't say exactly how he did this, but the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Bishnas Rabim L'Malchus David, Nidrishu V'Yimotze Bohem Gibori Chayil B'Yazer Gilad. Now, the point of this Pasuk here is to tell us that this occurred in the 40th year of David HaMelech, which was the final year of his reign. This is well after Shmuel had died. So, in the preceding pasuk, it tells us that he made 24 mishmaros. So clearly, David did this and not Shmuel. So Shmuel made it to 16, and then years later, a few years later, David made it to 24. That's the purpose of telling us this was in the 40th year of David's reign, which was well after Shmuel had died. Now, we have a brice that is going to go against this. Beisvei, Moshe tikin lehem Yisrael shmona mishmaros. First part of the brice agrees with what Rav Chama Bar Guri said in the name of Rav, that there were eight mishmaros that Moshe Rabbeinu set up. Arba me Elazar, the Arba me Isamar. Again, no problem there, same exact thing. Four came from Elazar's family, and four came from Isamar's family. But then it says, Ba David u Shmuel, then Midan alesim Arba. It says that David and Shmuel made it 24. Not that Shmuel made it 16, and then David made it 24. It says that both David and Shmuel made it to 24. Shinemar, this is based upon the pasuk that says, Hema Yisad David u Shmuel haroeh bemunasam. David Melech Yisrael, and Shmuel Haroah, Shmuel the Navi, they did this in their Amunah. Now, they made it 24, not like Rav Chama Bar Guri said that David made it to 24 after Shmuel had made it to 16. So, how do you understand this? So, where says, Hachi Kamar, Miyasodo Shel David U Shmuel Haramasi Hamidim Al Esim V'Yarba. No, it was ultimately 24, but it was done in the same stepwise progression that Rav Chama Bar Guri said in the name of Rav. It went from 8 to 16 in the days of Shmuel, and then to 24 in the days of David. So therefore, there's no contradiction. But now we have another brisa that seems to contradict what Rav Chama Bar Guri said in the name of Rav. Tani Doch, another brisa says, Moshe Tikin Lehem Yisrael Sheish Yisrael Mishmar was here. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make 8, he made 16. And it was Shmona Me Elazar, Shmona Me Yisamar. He divided them up evenly with the two remaining children of Aaron, Elazar and Yisamar. Each of them had eight mishmaros from their families. Ukishirabu b'nei Elazar, Al B'nai Yisomer, subsequently over time, the children from Elazar's family became much more numerous than the children from Yisomer's family, so they had to add on additional mishmaras to allow all of the Elazar children, progeny, to go and do the avoda. So Chilkum, they divided up, originally there was 8 and 8, so they took the 8 from Elazar and they made that into 16. Chilkum, Vamidim, Alessim, Viarba. So now you have a total of 24. 16 came from Elazar. They redivided them up from 8 into 16, and the original 8 from Yisomer, that stayed the same. And therefore, now we have 24. Where do we know this? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vayimatzu b'nei Elazar rabim l'roshei ha'gvarim b'nei Yisomer." That Elazar multiplied at a much greater rate than the b'nei Yisomer. Elazar's progeny was greater in number than the progeny of Yisomer. So that's why it went from 8 and 8 to 8 and 16, for a total of 24. So therefore they went from 8 into 16. However, the Bnei Yisomer, Leves Avosim Shmona, that didn't change, that stayed at 8. Now, that would be seemingly enough proof, but it says, V'omer, tells us one more pasuk. It says, Beis of Echad, there was one family unit, Li'elazar. In other words, they stayed as their family unit. V'ochuz, ochuz Li'somer. And Yisomer stayed as their family unit. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi and the Mefarshim understand this as follows, that base of Echad, Ochuz Li'Elazar, means for every one that Elazar had, the original 8, he got another 8. However, Ochuz, Ochuz Li'Somer, but Yisomer stayed the same. Now what does this V'Omer add to the way we understood it previously? So the one says, my V'Omer, why do you need the second pasuk? It seems that without the second pasuk, we already said it was 8 divided into 16 for Elazar's family, and Yisomer stayed at 8. So that's the 24. What does the V'Omer add? So it says, if you didn't have this va'omer, I would have said v'chitemah ki heche dinafishe b'nei Elazar hachanami dinafishe b'nei Yisomer. Just like the b'nei Elazar went from 8 to 16, so too the b'nei Yisomer must have doubled. Also, they started at 4 and went to 8. So maybe that's what it's telling us. The shmona that they are right now in mekara arba havo, they originally were only 4. So everybody doubled. The Elazar's went from 8 to 16, and the Yisomer's went from 4 to 8. That's what I might have thought. That's why. Toshma, the Braisa was brought down to teach us, V'chein, Omer, base of Echad, Ochuz Li'Elazar, that each one of the Elazar's doubled. However, the Ochuz, Ochuz Li'Somer, they stayed the same. So it went from 8 and 8 to 8 and 16, not from 4 to 8 and 8 to 16, respectively. Nadig Mora says, this Braisa clearly goes against what Rav Chama Bar Gurya said in the name of Rav. Now, this is a Braisa, and Rav, even though Tano Apoliku, we don't really like to do that, so he's an Amora. So, to you, after the Rav Chama Bar Gurya, this seems to be against what Rav Chama Bar Gurya reported in the name of Rav. A Braisa is going against Rav. So, he says, no. Amalek Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Tanoihi. No, Rav also has a Tana on his side, and we're holding like that Tana. Anadamre, ki ay Tana, de Amr Shmona. And we hold like that Tana that says that Moshe Rabbeinu made 8. 4 for Elazar, 4 for Yisomer, and not like the Braisa we just brought down that said that Moshe Rabbeinu made 16. Fine. Mora says, Tana Rabban, another Braisa, Arba Mishmaros, Olu Min Agola. In the time of the Bayisheni, most of the people did not want to go up to Eretz Yisrael when they were rebuilding the Bayisheni. The time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and only a small percentage of Klai Yisrael came back from Bavel, 40,000 plus only, and most of them were staying behind in Bavel. They liked the Golus Nebuch, so only 4 of the Mishmaros came back. The Elohim, which 4 were they? So Yedaiah. Now, I don't know why it's in brackets, but Zcharim throughout this discussion is always in brackets here, but that's clearly number 2. Yedaiah was Mishmar number 1, Harm was Mishmar number 2, Pashkur is Mishmar number 3, the Emer is Mishmar number 4. Those were the only 4 of the 24 that came back. And therefore, Amnu Nevi'im Shebeneihem, the great Nevi'im that were living at that time, Ezra and his colleagues, so they declared, and we turn to Chav Zayin Amud Beis, they said that Chilkum v'hemidum al esem yarbor. They had a Kabbalah that there has to be 24 mishmaros, and therefore they took the 4 existing mishmaros and they divided them up into 24. How did they do this? So they're bolulum, they mixed all together on a lottery when a son of Makalfi. So they wrote down 6 times the different mishmaros of each of these 4 mishmaros. So they divided each one up into 6. And they put him into a lottery. Now, there's 2 opinions over how they did this. One opinion was that they took the first one, they took Yedaiah, and they wrote 6 subdivisions of Yedaiah, and they put him into a lottery, and they pulled out this one will be the first one, this will be the second one, this will be the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, and the sixth one. Then they did the same exact thing with Chorim's 6 They took his group of the families, they divided up into six, and they put it into a lottery, and they picked those out. And they did it with the third one, and they did it with the fourth one. Now, that's one opinion. There's another opinion that said that, no, if you did it that way, they would complain and say, listen, Chiram would say, listen, before we were number two, and now we're going to be number seven. Right? Pashku would say, before we were number three, and now we're going to be number 13. So we don't want to do that. So according to this opinion, they put all 24 names into the lottery. Each for the four Mishmaros that were now divided up into six, they put all 24 in together, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace that the first six that came out were from the first family. They were from Yedaya. And the next six that came out, they were from Harim. The next six that came out were Pashkun. The next six that came out, they were from Emer. And it was an ace that all of them came out exactly the way they were supposed to. Nobody could complain, hey, how come we got pushed back? So that's what they did. Belolim and the son of Mekalfi, and then boy Yedaya v'notal chelko v'chelech chaver u'sheish. So Yedaya came, and either they did it specifically that way, that only the six of their subfamilies were put into the lottery, or like I just said, they put them all in, and Yedaya happened to pull out the first six, all of his family. A miracle. Then Bo Harim came, v'notal chelko v'chelech chaver u'sheish. He did the same thing. Then Chempashlo v'chaynimer. Each of them did it that way, and now they had the 24 mishmaros aligned in the way that the lottery came out. And that's what the Nevi'im said. And this is going to be for eternity. Now, there's a Kabbalah that there would be 24 Mishmaros. So they said, Shafilu. Now, the Girsa that we have is Yo-Yodov, but almost everybody changes it around to Yo-Yoriv. So even if the family Yo-Yoriv came back, Rosh Mishmaros, they were the first of the 24 Mishmaros, although they didn't come back now. So even if they were to come back, nevertheless, even if Rosh Mishmeres Ola Lo Yitche Yedaya Mimakomo, Yedaya would now stay number one. They weren't number one originally, but since they came back, they were given the right to be number one. And even if Yoi Rov came back, they would be pushed back and they would be not number one, they'd be number two. And it wouldn't be 25, they would take away one from this Stoma, Yedaya. So Yedaya would now have five, and Yoi Rov would have one of those, so it'd be a total of six. And Ella Yedaya Ikar, and Yehorov, again, not Yehoyodov, Yehoriav, Tofel, Lo. So he would be number two. Yehorov normally was number one, but now he would be number two because he didn't come back with Ezra and the others. Now go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, V'Yisrael should be also Mishmar, Miskansin B'Oreyen, Bekorin B'Maisi B'Reishis. So the Mamados would gather in their towns. There were the people that went to Yerushalayim, and then the rest of the people of the Mishmar would gather in the town, and they would say the Mamados. So Minani Mili, where do we know this from? What's the idea of them reading the Parsha of Bereishis and all of the process that we had talked about? So, Amar Rav Yaakov Baracha, Amar Ravasi, Rav Yaakov Baracha said to Ravasi, Il Moli Ma'amados, if it wasn't for the Ma'amados, Lo Niskaimu Shamayim Va'aretz, if it wasn't for these Mishmaros, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't allow the world to exist. Some of the Mefarshim bring down that there are many other psukim over here. And in fact, Rashi seems to have a lashon over here that says it's gimgum. It's mixed up over here. We don't have all the full psukim to support these statements. But bottom line is, I'll just read the girsa that we have. The bottom line is that it says, if it wasn't for this series of psukim that we're going to bring down here now, so Chuko Shemayim Va'aretz Lo Samti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically saying that it's the korbanos that are brought as part of these mamados in Yerushalayim, and the entire process, that is what keeps the world going. Yomoli mamados l'uskayim u'shamayim v'aretz, shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Avraham Avinu is talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him that your children are going to inherit the world, so he says, Vayomar, Avraham Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokim, how do I know that my children are going to inherit the land of Israel? Which is a very strange question, which some say Avraham Avinu was punished for, Hashem said you're going to, so what is Avraham Avinu doing by saying, how do I know? So the Mefarshim explained that in case my children do not do something right, and that's really our Gemara over here. Amar Avraham, Avraham is really saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Shema Yisrael Chotim Lefanecha, and they don't deserve it anymore. You're telling me that my children will inherit the land. That's assuming they're good, but what happens if they're not good? What happens if they Nebuch don't do the proper thing, and they sin, and they lose this Zuchus? How do I know then that they will still inherit the land? Maybe, chas v'sholem, you're going to punish them. Ata ozalem, kidor ha-mabul, u'chidor ha-ploga. That you're going to go and wipe them out. Just like you wiped out the dor ha-mabul, and even though the Mefarshim said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't bring a mabul, it says kidor ha-mabul. Like you wiped out the dor ha-mabul, you'll wipe them out. Maybe use fire, maybe use something else. Or kidor ha-ploga, just like you destroyed the dor ha-ploga, the Tower of Babel generation. So, you're going to, again, not guarantee that my children are going to inherit the land all time. So how do I know? Bamoedaki Roshana. Gemara says, Amalah, Kosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, no, that's not the case. You don't have to be worried. And yet Avram persisted, and he said, Amalafan, we're going to Shalom, Hodieni Bamoy Roshana. So you're telling me that you're not going to punish them. But how do I know? What are they going to do in order to avert such punishment? So Amalei, HaKosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu the following, the bris bein habesorim, kecholi eglo mishuleshes, v'eiz mishuleshes, v'ay mishulosh, v'sor v'gozol, that's the v'gomer, you'll bring all these korbanos, just like you're bringing these korbanos to establish the bris bein habesorim, so too Klai Yisrael will bring korbanos, and in the schus of they bringing the korbanos, I will, b'moedaki roshana, the schus of bringing the korbanos, that's what they'll inherit the land. Avram Avinu is still not happy. Amal Afanim, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's great, Ribbono Shel Olam, Tenach Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim. As long as the Beis HaMikdash is there, they can read the Korban, it was fine. But Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. What will be Klai Yisrael's raison d'etre? How will they live at that point in time? Bezman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Matehelem. What's going to happen to them? How do we know that they're going to continue in this world? Maybe they don't have the Korbanos, so they'll get wiped out, Rechmona Litzlan. Hashem says, no, that's not going to happen. Amalo, Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Kivar tikanti lahem, say their korbanos. The korbanos section of the davening, which I will say, many people skip. I still remember Girsa the Yankusa, the Girsa that I learned in elementary school when we were just learning how to daven. So we would finish off the bracha in the beginning part of the davening, Mekadesh Shimcho Barabim, and we go, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. And to this day, I have to force myself to keep on going in the Korbanos section because I'm so used to, from my Girsa of the Yankusa, from learning as a child, that you can skip the Korbanos section. And that's a terrible thing. And we do ourselves a tremendous disservice. This Gemara tells us the importance of saying the Korbanos section. Rav Shachta Shlita says that if you come late to shul and you have to skip, everybody knows these halachos, which portions of the Pesukah de Zimri you have to go and skip. Okay. Yeah, next time you'll do better. But you don't have to make up those sections that you missed in the Pesukah de Zimra. And worse comes to worse, if you just said, Baruch Shamar Ashrei Nishtabach, okay, so next time you'll do better, but you don't have to say the rest of it after the davening. But if you miss the korbanos, you have to go back at the end of the davening and say them. That you can't just skip by coming late. So if you didn't say before davening, you say them after davening. So here, Avraham Avinu is being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up over here the saying of the korbanos. Bizman shekorin bohem lefonai, mala ani aleim kilu hikrivim lefonai. When you say the korbanos section in the morning, so then the shalma parmas vaseinu, as we say in the korbanos section, our saying of this, so to say, is if we're bringing the actual korbanos. When you can't actually bring them, the saying and the describing that you want to bring them, Hashem accepts that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us a kapara. So the importance of saying the korbanos in the morning and the unbelievable benefit that Klai Yisrael gets in saying the korbanos in the morning should hopefully spur us to all say the korbanos section of the davening. So therefore, this is what Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moedaki Roshana, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, and Rechmon Lassan, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, the bringing of the korbanos, or at least the saying of the korbanos, can still bring us a tremendous atonement. Bring down the next price. The Tana Rabbanon, Anshei Mishmar, Hayu Mespalin Al Korban Achayhem, She Iskabel Beratzon. Now, that's the Girsa that we have. Now, on the side, both in the Gra and in the Ronishburg, at the bottom, they both switch this around. And they say, instead of Anshei Mishmar, there should be the Anshei Maimon. And when we have the Anshei Maimon, it should be the Anshei Mishmar. In any event, let's read it that way, like the Gra and the Ronishburg bring it down. So, it should say, Tana Rabbanon, Anshe Maimid, the people of the Maimid, Hayim Spalin al Korban Acheim, Shiskabu Buratzon. So they would be the ones to go and daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our Korbanos. Vyanshe, now it should be Mishmar, Miskansel of Beis HaKnesses, they're the ones that actually went into the Beis HaKnesses, Vyoshin Dalit Tanios. They were the ones that would be fasting. Now that's the Girsa that we have in the Gra and in the Ronishburg. Tzarech Lomar Lehefech, you have to flip it around like I just did. In any event, what did they do for these Dalet Taniyos? Why are there only four fast days? Because as we pointed out previously, and we'll see it again here now, they didn't fast on Erev Shabbos, Shabbos, or Sunday. Very interesting. Let's read it now in Sunday Gemara. They fasted B'Sheni B'Shabbos on Monday, B'Shlishi, Tuesday, B'Revi, Wednesday, B'Chamishi, Thursday. Now, B'Sheni, why did they fast? Al Yordei Hayam. Rashi explains that what are the Yordei Hayam? This is talking about, it says on the second day, in the Maisa Bereishis, Yirakia Beso Chamoyim. He's talking about the creations of the waters. Vitzorch Lahaskul Ratzo Saladabra. And you have to ask mercy for the sailors, the Yarde Hayam. Ah, very good. That's on Monday. On Tuesday, Bashlishi, they would ask Al Holche Midbaros, the people who traveled in the deserts. Why is that? So Rashi brings down, because it says, Visere Hayabasha. Now you can see the land. And therefore, and the people can now travel on the land, and therefore that they shouldn't be attacked by wild animals, etc. So we daven for them on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Baravi al Askara, Shalotipol al Tinokos, that the children shouldn't get this illness called Askara. Askara is described as the worst of all the misos. Some describe it as diphtheria. It's difficulty breathing. Something comes up from your stomach, and there's a membrane in the back of your throat, and you have difficulty breathing. It is a very dangerous illness. And this is what we daven for on Wednesday. Why is that? So Rashi explains, Shabo Nitlu HaMa'oros, because that's when the Ma'oros, the stars, were put up in the sky, and it says, Yi Ma'oros Ma'oras Ksiv. So it's a curse, and therefore, that's why we daven specifically that the Askara shouldn't come into our families, into our children, Rachmana Litzlan. And finally, on Thursday, they were fasting, Al Ubaros Umenikos, for the pregnant women and the nursing women. Now, Ubaros Shaloyapilu. They were davening that the women who are pregnant, they shouldn't lose their babies. Now why is that? Because it says Yishritzu Hamoyim on Thursday, and this is Sheretz Nefesh Chaya. So it should reproduce and multiply. And therefore we daven that the women shouldn't, Rachmon al-Islam, miscarry. And likewise for the nursing mothers, Menikos, Sheiniku has been named. So the children should be able to survive and live. That's for the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday fast. Now, Friday, we don't fast. Every Shabbos, lo yim asanim. Why not? They make up a Shabbos. It's not right to go into Shabbos in a starved, famished state. And it's not a covenant for Shabbos. You can't really do much because you're not feeling so well because you're fasting. And certainly, Kavach Homer, that we don't fast, but Shabbos Atzma. So therefore, Friday and Shabbos is easy. No, what about Sunday? Why can't we fast on Sunday? Why doesn't the Maimon Mishmar fast on Sunday? B'yach b'Shabbos, my time alone. So Rav Yochanan, he says, Mipnei ha-notzrim. That's the normal way to read this, because of the notzrim, the goyim, that their holiday was on Sunday. So Rashi brings down, if we were to fast on their day, shosom oso yom tov shalahem, it could lead to a sakana. As the Rabbeinu Gershom says, shiyom chag shalahem b'echa b'shabbos, that their holiday is Sunday, v'imhoi Yisrael misanim, hoi yukosim, they were very, very mad at us. Hey, how dare you fast on our holiday? Then the others suggest that no, they're going to be rejoicing in their temples, in their churches, that we're suffering, that we're fasting, so therefore it's not appropriate that we should be fasting on Sunday. Others explain, no, the word shouldn't be pronounced notzrim, ela notzorim, from the time that we were created, and that really leads to what Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar, which is Mipnei Shu Shlish Liyitzira. This is the third day after creation. Man was created on Friday, so Shabbos is the second day, Sunday is the third day, and as Rashi points out, on the third day, it is a day that is the Adam Nivra B'Yom Shishi, B'Chol Yom Shlishi, Hevei Cholosh, you're weakened on the third day, V'Hiva Yom Shlishi B'Yosom Ko'avim, with the famous story with Shechem ben Hamor and all the people, and they had the Bris Milah. So therefore, that's why we don't fast on Sunday. It's the third day from Yitzira. Okay. Rish Lakish gives another reason. Rish Lakish Amar, Mimnei Neshama Neset Yisera. Because we have on Shabbos a Neshama Yisera. This is the reason that we really gave earlier when we discussed this. The Amar Rish Lakish, as Rish Lakish said, Neshama Yisera Nidna Bobi Odom Be Erev Shabbos. That we get a Neshama Yisera on Erev Shabbos. In Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down that that Neshama Yisera comes inside. The Nosei Kelim bring down when we say Ufros Aleinu Sukkah Shlomecha in the Friday night davening right before Shemone Esrei. So that's when the Neshama Yisera enters us on Erev Shabbos, or right at the very start of Shabbos. And Rashi explains when the Neshama Yisera comes in, Shemarchivim Daito Liachila Ushasiya. That makes the person more expansive and physically, so to say, expands his ability to eat, right? People eat more on Shabbos than they do any other day of the week. So therefore, you physically, because of the Neshama Yisera, have a desire to eat more. Some say, others explain a little bit differently, they say spiritually you have the Neshama Yisera that wants you to grow more on a spiritual level. So it's both a Gashmias as well as a Ruchnias expansion with this Neshama Yisera. And then when Motzi Shabbos comes, the Motzi Shabbos no tenos homimenu, the Neshama Yisera leaves you. Shinemar, as the pasuk says, Shavas after Shabbos, oi, vayinofash. And we translate vayinofash, kivun sheshavas, after you had Shabbos, vay of the nefesh. The Neshama Yisera leaves us. And therefore, a person would be weakened already, and if he's going to fast on Sunday, that would make things worse. As I've almost mentioned a number of times, so this is the source of the custom in Klai Yisrael that we, when a person has a yard site during the week, that they try to get the Amud on Motzi Shabbos to Daven Maariv, because that is the yard site, if you wish, of the Neshama Yisera, the loved one that you're saying the yard site for that week. So the last time the Neshama Yisera was here was on that Motzi Shabbos. So therefore, that's the yard site of the Neshama Yisera, and therefore you try to daven for the Amud. I always tell people as well, it doesn't push aside a chiyuv. If there's somebody in the shul that has a real chiyuv, so then this idea is a very nice idea, but it doesn't push aside somebody who is a real chiyuv. In any event, that's the idea as to why on Sunday we do not fast. Then we quote the Mishnah where it says, "Bayom Rishon Bereishis V'Yirakia." We said on the first day you read two series of psukim, the first five psukim in Bereishis, and then you read the next three psukim Yirakia in Bereishis from the very beginning. Now, I pointed out then, and now we'll see it inside. This is problematic because we know that the minimal amount of psukim that a person get for an aliyah is three, and the minimal amount of people that we ever get aliyahs is three. So 3 times 3, 9 is the minimal amount of psukim. In fact, we only have 9 one time during the year, and that's when we read on Purim morning from Parshas Amalek, which says exactly 9 psukim. That's the exception that proves the rule, because normally we say the minimum is to have 10, that we have 1 aliyah with 3, 1 aliyah with 3, and 1 aliyah with 4. So machlokes as to which one should have the 4. Should it be the first one, the second one, the third one? There are 3 different opinions. In any event, we always have at least 10 psukim when you have a laning of 3 people, the one exception being Purim morning, and you only have 9 then. And here you only have 8, so here's the real problem. So the Gemara says, Tana, Bereishis Bishnayim. We break up the first 5 psukim into 2 aliyahs, Kohen and Levi. And then the third aliyah, the Yisrael, is Yirokia Be'echot. That's 3 psukim, so there's no problem. The Gemara says, Bishlomi, Yirokia Be'echot, because Tlosa Psuki have it. No problem to have Yirokia read by one person. It's 3 psukim, so therefore, we have the minimal amount necessary. But the first 2 aliyahs, Kohen and Levi, how could that possibly be done by 5 psukim in 2 people? Elaborations, bishnayim, how could that be? We delete the words maitaima because it's not found in the Gemara, where this Gemara is found elsewhere, and it doesn't even make any sense. So elaborations, bishnayim, hey psuki havyon, this is 5 psukim, utnan, that's the gist that we have, it really should be a brisa, utanya, hakori betorah, ayiv chos migimu psukim. It says that you are not allowed to have less than 3 psukim for anybody to get an aliyah. So how could this possibly be? So we have 2 terutz over here. Rav Amar Doleg. Rav says we do like we do on Rosh Chodesh. As Tosus himself points out over here, that we have Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow I'm dictating this on Matzi Shabbos of Hanukkah. And today was Rosh Chodesh, but of course we didn't have the normal laning for Rosh Chodesh because it was Shabbos. So we just read from Yom HaShabbos Rosh Chodesh, and that's not a problem at all. Although Tosus points out, that's one of the reasons why we don't read over Yom HaShabbos. Every single Shabbos is a maftir because it's only 2 psukim. So here we have more than enough psukim today for one person to get an aliyah. But on a normal day, like tomorrow, on Sunday, Rosh Chodesh, so again, because it's Hanukkah, it's not going to come up. But normally we read the first aliyah is including the third pasuk, Yomar Tolahem, and then the second aliyah goes back one pasuk, that's what Rav says is doleg, you repeat the third pasuk, Yomar Tolahem, and this way you can have 5 psukim read by 2 people, because you read pasuk 1, 2, and 3 for Kohen, and you read again pasuk 3 with 4 and 5 for Levi, and that's how you break up Bereishis, which is 5 psukim, into 2 people. That's what Rav says. Ushmul Amar Posek, what you do is you read one pasuk, second pasuk, and half of the third pasuk. So 2.5 psukim for the Kohen, and then you pick up where you left off in the middle of the third pasuk, the other half of that third pasuk, and the fourth pasuk, and the fifth pasuk. So 2.5 psukim counts like 3 psukim, and 2.5 psukim counts like 3 psukim. That's what Shmuel says. Now, why does each one not want to say like the other one? V'rav, the Omar Doleg, my time alone, my posek. Why didn't Rav say like Shmuel? After all, 2.5, 2.5, that sounds pretty good. So Rav says no. Kisabra, he holds kol psuka de lo paski Moshe anan lo paskin alei. If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't divide up a pasuk, in other words, if pasuk gimel is the entire pasuk, then you don't have the right to go and divide it up. That's a famous question. How are we allowed to say on Friday night in the Kiddush, for example, vayera vayivoker yom hashishi? So many people say it silently for that reason, and others bring down no. You have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Vayar es kol asher asah v'nei tov mod vayera vayivoker. So, 2 different opinions as to what you say, because you're not allowed to break up a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't break up. So that's why Rav says, I'm not going to break up pasuk gimel into half a pasuk to read with the Kohen and the other half the pasuk to read with the lady, because you can't do that. Oh, so Rav's in the clear. We know why he didn't say like Shmuel, and that's why he says, just repeat the whole pasuk. No, Ushmuel, who said, Omar posek, so what does he do with this idea that you're not allowed to break up a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't break up? So Shmuel says, Umi paskinan, how are you allowed to do this? Omar Rabbi Chanina, Kara, Rabbi Chanina, who was a baki in psukim, that's why he was called Rabbi Chanina, Kara, so Tsar Gadol Hayali. Eitzel Rabbi Chanina Gadol. When I was trying to ask Rabbi Chanina Gadol, there's Rabbi Chanina Kara and Rabbi Chanina Gadol. So Rabbi Chanina Kara was asking Rabbi Chanina Gadol, let me please break up the psukim because I have to teach the little children in the yeshiva and I can't go a whole pasuk without translating it. So I have to stop and say, Bereshis Bar Lukim, and I teach them what that means, as a Shemayim Yisarit. So therefore I have to break up a pasuk, but you don't, you're not allowing me to. So please let me do this because otherwise I can't teach the children. And ultimately, Rabbi Chanina Gadol was matirim below hitili lisok ela latinok shul beisrabin, only for the youngest children who couldn't learn any other way. Whole ulislamet asuya, because the whole purpose of it was to teach them. So he let me do this. So only when it was absolutely necessary for the youngest children did he let me break up the pasukim. So how could Shmuel break up the pasuk? So Shmuel, what would he say? Oh, same exact thing. Awesome time am I with the youngest children. Why did Rabbi Chanina go to let you break it up? Because it was the alternative. You can't teach a 5-year-old kid an entire pasuk. You have to break it up into little bite-sized pieces that he can understand. There was no alternative. Oh, here too. Hachanami, there's 5 pasukim. We have 2 aliyahs that have to be given out. So there's no alternative. Hachanami, lo efshar. So you give 2.5 to the Kohen and 2.5 to the Levi. Okay, that explains why Shmuel has no problem with breaking up the pasuk. But why didn't he say like Rab? Why didn't he say just Doleg? Ushmuel amar posik, my time alone amar Doleg. Why didn't he say like Rab? So Shmuel says, Gzeira mishum ha-nechnosim, u'gzeira mishum ha-yotzim. Because you know what? People come late to shul, an ancient Jewish custom. And what's going to happen? They're going to walk in, and they're going to see they're starting to read over here by the 3rd pasuk. The person who's getting Levi, he starts in the 3rd pasuk. So they're going to assume in their mind, hey, Kohen must have only gotten pasuk 1 and 2. Must be okay to read 2 pasukim. And it could lead to a terrible takala. Likewise, the people that are leaving late, they're going to see the Kohen got his aliyah, pasuk 1, 2, and 3. And they'll say, well, there's only 2 more pasukim left, 4 and 5. I got to leave now. Mestama, they're going to give the Levi only 2 pasukim. And again, we're going to have the same exact mistake possibly being made. So therefore, mishum these nichnosim and yotzim, the rabbis, Shmuel said, made a gzera that we don't allow you to do that, and better to have 2.5 and 2.5, rather than to have the potential for a mistake. Gemara continues, says, Mei Svei, we both, Rav and Shmuel, have a problem based upon the following brisa. It says, Parasha Shoshisha Psukim. When you have 6 psukim, so then, Korin Osam Shpidayim, no problem. Kohen gets 3 psukim, and Levi gets 3 psukim, no problem. But if you only have 5 psukim, biyochid, if it's only 1 person, no problem. The first person gets 3 psukim only. Hasheni kori shnayim mi parsha zu. So then you can give the Levi, let's say, 2 of those remaining 5 of the 5 psukim, 2 of the remaining ones, but you got to add on more. You give him shenayim mi parsha zu, the echad mi parsha charis. You got to add on a 6th pasuk because you can't give a person 2. That's not like Rav and not like Shmuel. And some suggest you can't just add on 1, you have to add on 3. The Yishramim Gimel from the next sugya. So therefore, Lefisha Maskil and the Parsha Pochus Bishosha Pesukim, because somebody else is going to come in and see that you just started right over here, this 1 Pasuk after the Parsha started, they'll think you're allowed to do that, which you're not. Bottom line is, it's a kasha on both Rab and Shmuel. Laman di Omar Doleg, so according to Rab, why didn't we say over here, Lidlog, you should have said, when you have 5 Pesukim, read 1, 2, 3, and then read 3, 4, 5. And according to Shmuel, that says you read 2.5 and 2.5, so live so. So that's what you should have done over here too. So this brisa is a steer to both Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, shiny hosom. This brisa is different. And we turn to Chav Ches Omud Aleph, because the Isle Revocha. Because you got other choices. Here you could read from another parasha. As Rashi says, Shiochel Likros be parasha Cheres. Abel Hocha, in our case with the Mamados, you have to read from Bereshis, and you have to read Pasuk 1 through, hey, 1 through 5. Let's lay Ruvacha, you have no alternative. The whole of Motzi Lemikre, Elaboratius, Virakia, because this is the laning. It's only 8 psukim. So when you don't have a choice, you don't have a choice. And that's why Rav said Doleg and Shmuel said Posek. With this, we conclude today's share.